your one-stop shop for the stories, secrets, and shenanigans of a popcorn-fueled theme park journalist. I'm Carly Wiesel, and I've kind of had a whirlwind of a time since we last spoke. I've been to birthday parties for adults, then a birthday party for a kid. This kid's birthday party, they had Dole Whip. They had actual Dole Whip at this birthday party. It was so much fun. Like, in LA, birthday parties are so solid. It's probably everywhere. It's just that when I was a kid, birthday parties were a roller rink, bowling, or like gymnasium. They were never tiki themed with live music and things to jump off of and also Dole Whip with toppings. It was wonderful. It was absolutely wonderful. I had a play date at a friend's house. I went to my brother's house and he made tavern style pizza. He made one that had roasted eggplant with fresh green curry that he made. It was good. I also recorded a podcast that many of you listen to that will be out in a few weeks. Wink, wink. I had a horrible tummy ache from an undercooked veggie burger in Universal Studios Hollywood. We've done and seen it all. Secret life of pets with my child. The bottom of a Pepto-Bismol bottle. Just a whole whirlwind. Just a whirlwind. And things are kind of ramping up from there. This week, as I speak to you, I'm kind of having what I'm calling finals week. And that's because I'm going to be in and out of town a lot in the next 5 weeks. I just got an email actually while I was setting up this recording that was like confirming you will not see home for many days. And this week, I'm like, before I leave town on Friday, I'm like juggling workouts and coffee and friends and packing. And like, I really think I'm going to pull it off this time. Like, I really feel confident that I'm going to get it all done. I am flying very close to the sun. And yet I have the, I guess, bravado. Is that the word? I have the bravado to believe I can do it all. And that is the energy that I'm entering my week with. And while you will be listening to this on a Wednesday, I hope that that energy carries you through to the rest of the week. I know last week we talked in the Gab Sesh episode, we talked a lot about like, what would the 2026 version of me do? I'm trying to like reshape my mentality to get things done. And I really feel like it's working. Last night, after I put Pearl down, I made a bunch of food to put in the freezer for when I come home for my trip so that I like have protein handy. I made breakfast bars for Pearl. They're like peanut butter oats. They're actually really good. I'm probably going to end up eating half of them. I watched half of that new Lena Dunham show. Half of the new Lena Dunham show. I worked on the podcast. I packed my bag and I like feel like I'm getting it all done. Like, I think the 2026 mindset is really kicking something into gear. And I'm curious if it's working for you too. So if it is, let me know. I mean, I did stay up way past my bedtime, but then today when I'm recording this Monday morning, usually I would block off this whole day to do work. And then I'd not really feel mentally ready until 10:30, but I started working out on Monday mornings. I started going to an 8:15 class, which means like 8 o'clock, I gotta be out the door going to this class. I went to a class with a friend, which makes it more fun. It kind of like rounds the edges of the fact that you have to do so much physical movement in the morning. And then after, I had a coffee date with a friend at Dayglow, my friend Dave, who I think has been on the podcast. He used to work at Food and Wine. He now works at the New York Post. He is the go-to expert about all things travel and food. I trust him completely. He has always hyped Dayglow. He called them one of the best coffee shops in the country, and he is right. We met there at the LA one. There's actually a few in LA. They actually also have them in Chicago and New York. So if you ever see a Dayglow, you gotta go. They have these like coffee concoctions that are kind of like cocktails, but they're all coffee and they have flavors and they're just, they are so good. If you basically have ever gone to Starbucks and you like get a coffee with a flavored foam and you're like, yum, yum, I liked that. Go to Dayglow. It is like the nicest version of that. And it's so lovely. But we hung out there. We ended up hanging out with the owner. We all like tried all these drinks. Fantastic. And then I'm home and I'm working and I feel like usually I would be super stressed, but the 2026 mentality is working. It's working, and I hope it is working for you too. But we are not talking about that this week. We are talking about Disney Cruise Line. So we're going to get to it. Stick around for some words from our sponsors, including Becky Mencken of MEI Travel. There are even more deals that have dropped since we recorded this month's deals interstitials. So make sure to reach out to them because there are a bunch of wintertime deals that you can get at Walt Disney World. Okay, that is all. We will get into Cruise Line soon. See you on the other side. Goodbye. I love you. Talk to you momentarily. And now, a quick chat about current Disney discounts and promotions with our travel agent partner, Becky Mencken of Mouse Fan Travel. Hi, Becky!
Hi, Carly! It's so good to hear from you again!
I know, I feel like we're pen pals. We're like business pen pals. It's so good to see you, though.
It's good to see you too. It's been a whirlwind for me, though, as you probably know. I just did an Adventures by Disney to Japan,
Oh my
which was
gosh.
amazing. And it's my second time on that itinerary. It was so great. And then I hopped over to Europe, believe it or not, and I escorted a group cruise with Royal Caribbean, which included like Copenhagen and Rotterdam. It was just amazing. And I'm not sure what time zone I'm in or exactly what day it is right now, but I do know in a few days I leave for another Adventures by Disney to Southern California. I'm going to go and do one that hits Disney Studios and Imagineering and, of course, Disneyland. So I'm so excited about that.
I've done that one and it's awesome.
It's amazing. And going to Imagineering, you kidding? Going shopping in Imagineering at Mickey's of Glendale, that's totally on it. But speaking of Adventures by Disney, did you know that right now they do have a really cool offer for select 2026 and 2027 land adventures? If you book by July 31st, they're doing two promos. You can save up to $500 per person on international land adventures like Italy or Japan or
Ooh.
Ireland, Iceland, London, all of the international destinations, or save up to $400 per person on select North and Central America land like Costa Rica and Wyoming. So a lot of opportunity. If you've done the theme parks a lot, there's another place where you can enjoy the Disney flair that we love and the service and the adventure. So Adventures by Disney's got a great opportunity for you. But if you are really wanting like one of those tropical beverages with an umbrella in it, Alani's got you.
Ooh,
They
okay,
got
tell me
your
what's going
back.
on in Alani, because I've had the Alani itch lately and I kind of want to know what the deal is.
All I think about with Alani is that lazy river, a drink in the lazy river. But right now, if you travel from October 20th to December 23rd, you can save up to 30% on stays of 5 or more consecutive nights, or 25% on stays of 4 consecutive nights.
Whoa.
That's a lot of money if you're, especially at that saving 30% off. So there's a lot of deals to be had there if you can go from that October to December timeframe.
And a ton of holiday breaks in there. Like you got Thanksgiving, you got some schools have fall break. Even if you do what I do,
Exactly.
which is that you travel on the like a little before the holidays, because what else is going on? No one's
I
doing
know.
anything at work the week before.
You're
You
just
go
like
early.
staring at me. All you're doing is you're shopping online to make sure you get all of those extra gifts, right?
Yeah,
That's
and you
what
can
they
do that
do.
while looking at the lazy river.
Exactly.
Thanks so much, Becky. I can't wait to hear the rest. Welcome back. If you have ever wondered what Disney Cruise Line ship you should take, or if the newer ones are better than the older ones, this episode is for you. We've gotten a handful of calls and inquiries about Disney Cruise Line in general, but also a lot of specific, very valid questions we haven't really answered in one place before. This did originally begin as an episode to compare what ship is right for you, kind of comparing this one has this, this one has this. What about dining here? What about entertainment there? Which is all stuff we will tackle. But I'm going to weave everything together and also add it with your most asked questions throughout that narrative. Basically, we are doing it all here at Very Amusing on this episode, and we are going to be extremely blunt about what I like and do not like across the Disney Cruise Line fleet. No holds barred. We're even going to do, okay, I don't want to admit it, but we're even going to do superlatives to compare my favorite everything on each ship to help break down what you need to know and what cruise ship and vacation you should book if you choose to sail with Disney Cruise Line. Obviously, this is not our first Disney Cruise Line episode. We have quite a few, which will be in the show notes. If you scroll through, all of them will be there. But I realized we've never actually started at one to explain it all to people who are new to Disney Cruise Line or maybe haven't been on the new ships. And essentially, this is me explaining why I am so obsessed with Disney Cruise Line. Because they're kind of everywhere right now. And if you keep seeing Disney Cruise Line deals that are appealing to you, and you keep seeing people in your feed happy on these trips, and you're like, maybe I'm a little cruise curious. Maybe I want to know what's going on. That is what we're tackling today. Because here's the deal. Disney Cruise Line is absolutely having a moment. And I want to make sure you know how to approach it from a friend who has been there and seen it all. Guys, there was a time when this wasn't my job. I was only covering parks. Like, the majority of my work was Disneyland and Disney World, and for a while, Cruise Line was just like something else Disney offered. It wasn't the bread and butter of what I did. But then they started adding ships. And then they confirmed they're doubling down on the future of Cruise Line. And it just became undeniably clear that this is the future of Disney travel, and for a good reason. I mean, we love the parks. No shade to the parks. The parks are putting in a lot of capital and time and energy and money into expanding. You know, the turbocharging. But just put it this way. If you also feel like you can't escape Disney Cruise Line lately, that more people on your feet are going, that there's more Disney Cruise Line news, it's kind of because Disney Cruise Line has taken over. Put it this way. At the end of the year in 2021, which was only a few years ago, at the end of the year, there were 4 Disney Cruise Line ships. By the end of this year, 2025, there will be 8. That's only 4 years later, and that's not even it. They're going to add another 5 ships. So by 2031, we will have 13 ships total. So if you do have that feeling where you're like, everybody's talking about Cruise Line, what is going on? Like, why is this all happening? Like, do I become a cruise person? Is this something I want to do? It's because the company keeps doubling the amount of ships they have. And so for someone who is approaching Cruise Line as a guest, it went from, oh, here are some ships we sail, to where do I even begin? So that is the problem we are solving today, answering all of your big Cruise Line questions. Very quickly before we do, I just want to bring us all up to the same pace. So here is a rundown of what we're discussing. Disney Cruise Line operates 3 different classes of cruise ships. The oldest child, which is the Disney Magic and Wonder, that's what I just took to Alaska. The middle child, which is the Disney Fantasy and Dream, thought of as the big fancy ones for many years until we got the triplets. Disney Wish, Disney Treasure, and when it launches this November, the Disney Destiny. These 3 offer the same layout, but very different themes and vibes, which will pop up later in this episode. Don't worry about which is which and what is what. I will explain everything in a straightforward way that does not require you to immediately memorize the names of an entire fleet of cruise ships. That's my job, to think about Disney Cruise Line way too much, and not yours. Now, in this episode, we will not be discussing the Disney Adventure, which is kind of the half-sister to all of these. It is sailing exclusively out of Singapore. It's built totally different. And we're just going to leave that one out of the convo because we're talking mostly about ships that do offer, at one point, American destinations to get to a port, and then you sail on the ship. Now, I do believe the best way to plan a Disney cruise trip is honing in on what works for you. Location, destination, and duration, and parsing through your available options from there. I think it's a better approach than comparing ship by ship, and so that's kind of the way we're going to gear today. Starting with, how long should I go for? Now, what I recommend is going to come with a caveat, but if you're new to Cruise Line, I think 3 nights is kind of the sweet spot. Now, 3 nights does mean you will be moving at a quicker pace if you want to do a lot of the stuff on the ship. You're going to be seeing a show every night to jam them in. You're only going to hit each restaurant once. And it can be a little stressful if you're trying to jam all of this in on top of spending a lot of time in any port that you are visiting. But really, I think 3, maybe 4 nights is the right place to start. And here's why. I'm going to be very practical here. Some people don't know if they are ship people until they step aboard a ship. They don't know if they're going to be bothered by the motion. Sometimes you feel it, sometimes you don't. But you don't really want to find out how you feel about being at sea on a 9-day jaunt. If you think you'd be fine and you're chill with it and you're good, book a week. Have fun. That's kind of what I do because I'm a little bit of a risk taker. But if you're dipping a toe into the cruise waters and you really haven't done this before and you're a little timid, but you love Disney and you love the parks and you kind of want to see what this is all about, I recommend doing 3 nights. Now, again, keep in mind, this will come with a smidge of chaos. The first day is almost a half day. It's a travel day. You're still wearing like the slog of the transport and the check-in and the travel. Like, you know, when you travel, you like carry that travel on you like a backpack. And then the last day is 2 seconds long. It's 2 seconds long. You wake up, you eat breakfast, you are off that ship early. So you really only get a few full days. And keep in mind, the last night of your cruise, you are packing everything up and leaving it outside your door for the next morning. You don't have to do that. You have to carry all of your stuff yourself off board, and the elevators are a mess, so it's not always ideal. I tend to avoid it because I have no patience, but keep that in mind that you will only have like, You'll have the first night, which is when you got on the ships. You're still like, oh, I traveled. You'll only have like one chill day and night that doesn't touch any of that. And that can be short for someone who wants more relaxation. If you are a, you know, kind of a theme park person, you will find it tricky to have a break on a three-night cruise because there is so much fun stuff to do. A horrible problem, I know, but it's incredible. If you want to do it all, see every space, meet the characters, explore kids' spaces during open house, you're just going to have to be a little more active and on top of the schedule. I do talk about all of this on my Cruise Line Tips episode that is in the show notes. I highly recommend that as kind of a counterpart to this one. But if you're looking at an itinerary, you are most likely going to see an at-sea day. And at-sea days sound scary. I was scared because I had multiple on my recent Alaska cruise. And as I discussed in that episode, I am here to tell you that sea days are not scary. They're actually quite wonderful. They're like the equivalent of sleeping in, but all day because you're just chilling. There is so much stuff to do on these cruise ships because you're just in the Disney bubble. It's not like, oh, a random bingo game. Oh, it's karaoke with strangers. Everything ties back to being in Disney storytelling and in that world. So there is this touch point of interest to everything happening on the ship. Wow, that's a like maybe the best way I've ever explained it. But the Disney of it all really just makes everything a little more magical because so much thought and design went into all of it. Even if you can't see it overtly, it informs everything that happens on this cruise ship and really amplifies every experience you'll have. A lot of people ask, well, if I'm going on a cruise, why would I do Disney over all of these other cruise lines that exist? And while I will admit, I have mostly only done Disney lately, there's a lot there. Now, the marketing of it all is like, oh, Disney characters, fireworks at sea, ooh, Mickey Mouse. But forget that. I can talk until I'm red in the face about how you'll move from restaurant to restaurant each night. So like your team will follow you and you move around and whatever. That's not what matters. What matters is that it is top tier quality across the board. Like that's the Disney difference. It is the storytelling. It is the thought that goes into everything. It is the experience of being there. But really, it's quality. The food is quality. Everyone who works there is incredible. The experiences are top-notch. It's just good all the way down. Disney Cruise Line is often more expensive than its competitors. Full stop. I'm not going to be out here pretending like it's not. You can find cheaper cruises, 1,000%. But you're not here to just be on boat, you know? You're not here to just be at sea. Like, I'm not on a cruise because I like a cruise. I'm on a cruise because I want to do activities. I want to have experiences. I want to do whatever they're offering on board. And Disney Cruise Line, for a theme park fan, for a Disney fan, is hitting all the marks. There are generally less bells and whistles and modern day cruising on a Disney cruise ship compared to the other ones. But that's because they're Disney. They have the strongest storytelling brand in existence, and it makes everything a little more special. So again, if you're kind of curious about cruises in general, there are many options out there, but Disney is Disney. Everything that you experience on this ship came from the same perspective of storytelling that all the parks and attractions have, and that is what makes it unique. Like I said in my Alaska episode, Disney Cruise Line makes any destination vacation two trips in one. Because it's not just the cruise, it's not just the real world place you're going, but it's both together. It's a Disney vacation without having to really plan much, and that sure makes it a welcome alternative to the parks while still providing just as much fun. And with Disney, there isn't a lot you have to pay for outside of the standard offerings. I felt weird saying that because I'm like, surely there's more. But really, it's just if you want booze, yeah, that's separate. But it's really like fancier coffee, better coffee, popcorn at a show, an upcharge dining experience for adults only. But generally, I don't feel like I'm ever charging that much during the day above my baseline experience, unless it's stuff like that. Other cruise lines are structured very differently. But the flip side is, of course, that there are less options. Like there is no upgraded restaurant you can go to with your family. If you are adults only, you can, but otherwise you're eating at the main ones and the main ones are great. Like I said, it's that push and pull. It's less bells and whistles, but there is still so much that is included with your trip. I am very likely going to sail on a Royal Caribbean ship soon. I am very excited to see what another brand is like. And they've got like 4 zillion dining options. They have a teppanyaki restaurant. They have sushi. They have that immersive railway restaurant that we did that episode about way back when. They have a lot of stuff, but it's often upgrades. You have to pay for soda. You have to pay for certain entertainment. You have to pay for things. And so it's this balance, because with Disney, you can really feel like you showed up. I call it like the C equivalent of the Disney dining plan. Like, you show up and everything's just kind of set. You can get as much soda as you want and it's free. You can get as many Mickey waffles as you want and it's free. And when I say free, I mean, I'm bad at math and it's included in the price, but you know what I mean. And what I think Disney Cruise Line really offers is that it's the purest way to relax while still having an active Disney vacation. It's not, we're going to sit at the hotel all day. It has the characters, the entertainment, and the theming that you get in the parks paired with these nice, convenient accommodations. They have really nice robes in every room, guys. Really nice robes. You don't even get that at a lot of the hotels. And when you pair that with the bonus of a relaxing Disney vacation, whew, it is just something that a lot of us can't shut up about. Again, I am not a cruise person outright. I just love to do things. And Disney Cruise Line allows you to chill out as a family, as adults, whatever, while also doing things. And then, of course, there's the fact that they're targeting us, y'all. They're specifically wooing us by putting Disney Parks attractions inside these ships so that I never want to go anywhere else. And you know what? It's working, because they are fantastic. The new park-themed bars that they add to these places are phenomenal. So there's really never been a better time, in my opinion, to just reel it back and kind of think about what you want from your next trip. And then, of course, there's the fact that you really can have it all. You can travel to Orlando, do a little park vacation, and then get bused there for the rest of your trip. You can sail out of Fort Lauderdale, take the Brightline to Orlando. Like, you can really pair the two back and forth, and it really is nice. And speaking of that little combo platter of travel, let's talk destinations. Now, most people think of Disney Cruise Line as little Caribbean jaunts, which is likely what you're going to be doing if you combine a cruise with the parks. But doing that is not the only vibe, and we don't talk about this enough. Disney Cruise Line goes to Italy and Spain. They go to Australia. They go to Hawaii, Alaska, even like Norway and Copenhagen. But really, the way to break it down is that if you're approaching what itinerary to do, you're going to be going to beach towns or you're going to be going to cities. And I can't stop thinking about cities. I'm not going to get too into this here because it's not the point of the episode. And my favorite way to do a Disney cruise trip is to go on an exploration trip. You want to be out all day doing excursions, experiencing a place so far from your home that is exciting while also coming back to Disney. For example, I mean, sometimes these ports are not close. In Alaska, we were right in town. But if you're going to Rome, you're not actually going to Rome. You're going to, Civitavecchia, I think that's how you say it, which is about an hour and a half from Rome. And when you do that, which I have done, it's a long day, but it's incredible, because if you're going internationally and you want to do Disney, but you don't want to deal with like booking hotels and trains and flights and taxi, it's kind of a clutch way to see the world, because essentially a lot of these cruise line trips turn the vacation into like a river cruise. It basically turns your cruise trip into a moving hotel that takes you from place to place. And some of them are on deep sale right now. Deep sale! Like, I was looking at the prices and I was like, oh boy. So just keep that in mind. Again, mousebandtravel.com/amusing. If you want to go on my dream trip, send me photos. I am very jealous. I really want to go on the Norway one. I won't gab about it any longer, but oh man, that website keeps pulling me in. So if you want to go on a relaxing Disney vacation, as we've discussed, you probably want to do one of the more island itineraries. And you're probably familiar with the fact that Disney operates two different islands, Castaway Key and Lookout Key at Lighthouse Point. I think I lean more towards being a Castaway favoritist just because I've been there so many times and it's a little near and dear to my heart, but there are absolutely perks to both. We did an entire episode about Lighthouse Point. That's in the show notes. You can find it there. But I would say, trip by trip by trip, if you are traveling with young kids, you're probably going to be more Castaway Key. If you're traveling with adults, I think Lighthouse Point is the move for you. With older people, like grandparents on a multi-generational trip, probably Castaway Key, but could go either way. And if you're with someone who is maybe not a Disney person, Lighthouse Point 100% is where you're going to want to go. With bigger kids and teens, I feel like it can go either way, but I'd almost lean more Lookout Key at Lighthouse Point. And for food, also Lighthouse Point. The food in Castaway is, I don't think it's very good, guys. I know people talk about it a lot, but When I went recently, when I was on the Treasure, the food on the Treasure was so good that I went to Castaway and was like, I'm not even filling space with this. I'm going back with an empty belly so I can eat as much as possible aboard the ship. Like, that's how good it is. But soft serve, always a good choice. It's why the standard DCL trip is kind of an islandy one, and it's also awesome. I just think that both versions are really great, and we're not really breaking them out as much as possible. And okay, this is the last thing I'm going to say about this, because I am looking for research, but also selfishly for planning the next few years. They have this one cruise that goes to Rome, Mykonos, Barcelona, Sicily, Santorini, and Athens. Do you know how annoying that trip would be to book on your own? To book that travel? And the ship just carries you there? And then you get to see Mickey and Goofy at night? Dreams. I mean, clearly I'm coming from the perspective of someone with a small child who's like, I could never visit more than one of these cities planning the travel myself, but just getting on board a ship, being fed, easy peasy, I'm tempted. Whoo, baby, I'm tempted. We are going to take a quick break as I figure out how to not spend my entire savings account on that specific sailing. And after the break, we're really going to get into breaking down the highlights and lowlights of each ship. The really good stuff is just ahead. Stick around. We'll be right back. Baby, it is summertime. Your legs are about to be stuck to a booth at a deli. That's what happened to me today. And that's how I know my jeans are officially out the door for the next 3 to 4 months. They're on sabbatical. And thankfully, because it's just giving me more room in my wardrobe to stock up on summer goods. That's where Quince comes in, because I like to keep my items for years and years and years. And Quince, their clothes are timeless. They feel luxurious. They look elevated. And the quality is so good. I wear my Quince shorts. I'm always talking about my Quince shorts. I wear my Quince shorts every 3 days. I have a few pairs. I have black, and I have purple. And so I wear black and purple, and then I do laundry, and then I wear them again. I wear them constantly. And I gotta tell ya, you wouldn't know that I've been wearing them every day for years, for literal years. That's what Quince provides. We're talking 100% European linen tops starting at $30. Washable silk dresses and skirts. Everything you need to pack for a vacation that's an hour away or a big old flight. And the best part is, everything with Quince is half the cost of similar brands. Quince also only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. Take it from me! I love their bike shorts, and you should too. I know I'm always talking about bike shorts, but if you haven't tried these bike shorts, I'm telling you, they're elite. The price is fantastic. The quality is stellar, and it's my personal uniform. I dress a little different when I go to theme parks. When I'm at home, I'm wearing bike shorts and a big t-shirt, and I wore it to a theme park the other day. Let me tell you, it was heaven. Quince, really, they provide reliable, wonderful summer clothes at an affordable price that you can wear year after year after year. That's all you need from your summertime wardrobe. So give your closet an upgrade before the heat wave arrives and you got nothing to wear. And you can do that all with Quince. Go to quince.com/amusing for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns, a procrastinator's dream. That's quince.com/amusing to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/amusing. And if you haven't tried the bike shorts, try them. I love them. I think it's really important in adulthood to know what you are good at and what you're real bad at. I am real bad at all things cooking. I cannot handle a grocery list. I send texts to myself and I'm like, oh, don't forget ginger. It's been weeks since I've gotten ginger. There's no ginger in my house. I send my husband to do that. I do some of the cooking, and let me tell you, it's not cute. It's just a bunch of rice and then whatever I put together. But every time I have an every plate shipment, every single time, I'm cooking out real meals. I made the most beautiful quesadilla the other week. It was phenomenal. I was like walking around the house proud of myself, like, look what I did with every plate. And it's just because with every plate, you get restaurant level deliciousness week after week with unbelievable recipes. They got stuff like crispy buffalo ranch chicken, cheesy Mexican street corn hash, not the stuff you'd expect to make. Like, I would expect chicken and vegetables, but no, they have restaurant quality recipes that, and they break it down and make it easy for you. Because when you order every plate, the world is truly your oyster. You will spend less on these flavor-packed homemade meals than you would on normal groceries or a restaurant, because they send pre-portioned ingredients. It is amazing. If you're tired of cooking the same things over and over, they'll up your dinner game in 30 minutes or less with easy to follow recipes. I can't do math. I'm no good at science. I can barely cook. I know how, like even turning on the stove, we have an old stove. It's kind of a situation. With EveryPlate, it's no problem. I have enjoyed my EveryPlate delivery so much because when they arrive, I know I have one less thing to worry about. Actually, like seven less things to worry about because then I can cook for myself, my husband, my kid. I don't have to get groceries. I know I have food in the fridge and I'm not just eating like the dust in the bottom of a granola bag for dinner. Like truly, EveryPlate will change your life as much as it has mine. So for. Dig into these flavor-packed meals your household will love. New customers can enjoy a special offer of only $1.99 a meal. Oh my god, that's really good. Go to everyplate.com/podcast and use code AMUSING199 to get started. Applied as a discount on the first box, limited time only. That's everyplate.com/podcast and use code AMUSING199. I have a child now, which means one thing for my everyday life. I cannot get my hands on enough berries. But thank goodness there's a solution, because the best red raspberries they sell in this country, plump, sweet, naturally delicious, are available in the freezer aisle, thanks to the glory of Washington Red Raspberries. Oh yeah, we got the big berry account, y'all, so listen up, because I have some very important things to say about this. I'm actually very passionate about frozen fruit, because when you freeze fruit, it retains all of its nutrients and they're picked at peak ripeness and frozen hours later. So it's actually like a genius way and it's more economical and it's easier to have access to berries in your home. Like, this is not a joke. I was born to talk about raspberries and that's exactly what we're gonna do. But anyway, I have a child. So I'm constantly having this berry-based power struggle in my house. But with frozen Washington red raspberries, we all win. I'm out here housing nutrients like vitamin C and fiber by plopping them in my overnight oats, baking little muffins for the house with them. My daughter's getting American-grown frozen raspberries in her daily smoothie because she has the diet of a Gen Z airwanner, but we're only doing that inside our house. We have a healthy addition to all of our meals, and I don't have to run out or go to the market because I have them in my house, in my freezer, ready to go whenever I need fresh fruit. American-grown frozen raspberries are fresh, juicy, and full of flavor. They're good for gut health. They're good for blood sugar. I mean, they're friggin' raspberries. How can you not love a ripe raspberry? And when you buy American-grown frozen raspberries, look for product of US on the bag. That's how you know you got the right one. You're getting fresh flavor all year long, without that sadness of taking a carton out of the fridge and realizing they've gone all mushy. No mush here! So if you want to join in and find these delicious little berries, head to redraz.org. That's redraz.org. There, you'll find recipes, health tips, retail locations like Kroger and Costco. Fun fact, you can find these in Costco, but you can also find them in the Kirkland Signature 3-Berry Blend. They got the good raspberries! And on that website, you'll find everything you need to make naturally delicious frozen Washington red raspberries a regular part of your routine. That's redraz.org. Happy berry eating! Welcome back. One thing I want to be sure I address before we get into the fun of it is, who is Disney Cruise Line for? And I honestly think it's for anyone who is open to Disney. You don't have to be a diehard Disney fan. You don't have to ever have done any Disney experiences. You just have to be open to it. Adults, kids, multi-generational trips, couples, friends. Yes, I think it can work for anyone. But if your wife detests Disney or cruising, or your family is not at all charmed by any of this, it's probably gonna be hard to sell them on it. Essentially, Disney Cruise Line is fantastic, but someone who doesn't wanna be on a boat isn't gonna wanna be on a boat no matter how many characters they see. But anyone who goes to Disneyland with their partner and kid and they're like, oh, that was kinda cool but stressful, that is who should experience Disney Cruise Line. They need to see this. The person who was like, Wow, that was fun. Everything was themed. I had a blast, but like, it was kind of a lot. Or even the person who's like, we loved being there with the grandkids, but it was way too hot. We got ourselves a future cruise line fan. Because I love that you can squeeze so much Disney magic out of a trip with so little effort. You get so much family time without any heavy lift. Your meal times are set. There are activities you drop by any time, especially if you're with people who have different interests and want to do different stuff during the day. It's just really, really easy and you don't have to coordinate almost anything. Essentially the ease of a resort hotel with the magic and whimsy of all things Disney, which is why I just can't recommend it enough. But the tricky bit is going to be adults only. Because I'm often asked, is it weird to go here? Like, will I feel strange being on a Disney cruise ship without kids? And the answer is no. No! As long as you understand that a lot of things are family friendly on board, and I don't mean for children, I mean for children and adults, you're fine. Like, as long as you know there will be a disproportionate amount of children there compared to a regular hotel after 8 p.m., you're good. Just try to book the late night seating instead of the early one for dinner. Look for more adult-centric classes and activities while you're on board. Like, there's this How to Cook series, which is really great, which can be adult only. There are adult only, like, mixology classes you can do. Bring a book and read in Cove Cafe. Get the gals together for live music at the bar. Like, there is so much to do. Even if the presence of children kind of harshes your vibe, like, you have places to go and you will have a great time. And to expand upon that, I want to welcome you to the Cruisies. I wasn't kidding. We're fully going to determine which cruise ship is right for you in the, like, high school straight up superlatives with the creme de la creme in each category. Because when I started breaking down how to answer these questions, I was like, well, the fantasy has this and the wish has this. And that's not how you book a vacation. Like, you don't have time to be like looking at a comparison chart between what has what and how important it is to you. If the room design is like this, or if this bar has a window or not, like, no. Planning your trip is location, destination, duration. And from there, the ones in these categories can just speak to which ship you might lean towards more. And if you're still wondering, well, what about new ships versus old? Stick around. I am solving that problem at the end. So we begin with probably the easiest question to answer, which is best lounge. It's obviously going to the Haunted Mansion Lounge aboard the Disney Treasure. They fully created an attraction at sea with this one. Like, we were visibly moved by it. And it's hard to get a bunch of media people to walk into a space they have never experienced before and just be audibly gasping. Nobody wanted to leave. It was extraordinary. It feels like you are on the ride, but it is a space you can luxuriate in. They accomplished something unreal with the Haunted Mansion Lounge, and it just speaks to how much Disney Cruise Line and Disney Parks are intersecting, and it makes me very happy as a fan of both. But alas, there is a hidden secondary category here, and it is best bar. And that is going to Meridian on the Disney Dream and Fantasy. This place looms so large in my memories. Like, if we ever do a group trip on Disney Cruise Line and it's on one of these ships, we will be having happy hour here every night, mark my words. Fancy seltzer or martinis for everyone. Like, this bar is a vibe and I haven't been on it in years and I miss it so much. Best gym is a toughie. Because on older ships, if you use a treadmill or cardio equipment, you can like work out and see the ocean. And that is so cool. But if you do like your little thing on a mat, you do little sit-ups, you do like little weights, it's awful. Like, I was out here in a corner, like under a machine, trying to just do a mat workout and there was nowhere to go. And on the new ship, you don't get that full front view. Ooh, the view is so good. You don't get that on the new ship, but they have like a full workout room that you can be in with like TRX stuff. And it's just such an upgrade for anyone who exercises that way. So if you're a runner, you're probably gonna prefer the old ships. But if you're more of like a jump around, you know, like high intensity Pilates type of person, the newer ship is going to be your favorite. If that is important to you. And if you just want to walk around, chill, it's vacation, baby. You can do whatever you'd like. I am going to skip best spa because I don't think I've spent enough time in the spa on the newer ships to be able to opine. But what I'm going to interject with is that I obviously went on the Disney Wonder recently and I did this massage called Alone Time. It is only available on the Disney Wonder and on the Disney Magic. I believe it's also on the Disney Magic because they're sister ships. And it is essentially a massage where you get access to a private hot tub. You get a private hot tub for like 20 minutes and it has a window and it has a view and it is so sick and it was awesome and it was like maybe the best spa treatment I've ever had in my life. Highly, highly, highly recommend. Best water slide. Now it comes down to the Aqua Duck. on the Fantasy and Dream, and the Aqua Mouse on the three new ships. And I'm really sorry to the new ships, but I'm an aqueduct truther. Like, Aqua Mouse is great. It's an upgraded version of this water coaster at sea. You have footage from original animated Mickey Mouse shorts that you see as part of this journey. It is themed. It is cool. But I swear, every time I do it, I get demolished in the face with water. And I personally don't like that. And the aqueduct, even though it doesn't have that theming, it's just like, it's nice that you just get to look at your surroundings and enjoy it. And it's like this pure experience separate from theming. I just love aqueduct more. What can I say? And new ships are great, but not everything. Not everything wins out. Best adult space. And this is a generalization. This isn't an individual bar, but just like all of the spaces together at one. What is the summation? And I'm going to go with the adult bars on the Wonder and Magic, the old ships. I just love the portholes in each of those. I love the location. I love that it's in this quiet area. I think it's on deck 3, where it's towards the back, where it's not heavily populated, but it's also not hidden. The district on the Fantasy and Dream, which is like a cluster of bars in this tucked away area, is ideal if you're going on an adult only trip. Like, you have this fully closed off area that is just for you guys. But I always feel weird going in there. I always feel like I'm sneaking away, like, ooh, I'm off to something bad to have a champagne. And I just like when the adult areas are a little more exposed. I personally do. And I think it's just really, really great on the Wonder and Magic. And while we have these dope new bars on the new ships, I just kind of like the layout on the Wonder. I'm so partial to the Wonder. Also, the adult only, I mean, this is a little bit of a departure, but like the adult only area on the new ship is much different from the older ones. On the new three ships, you have to, it's like impossible to get there. You have this kind of infinity pool. The view out the front is, the view out the side of the ship is amazing, but it's just hard to get there, and it's separate and it's far back. And I just, there's something about the bars on the Wonder and Magic that speak to me. And I am combining pools and everything. Pools, I think adult pool, I feel like, I was talking to my friend of the pod, Jeffrey Epstein, about this because he has been on a zillion cruises. And like, I'm leaning towards the best adult area being on the Dream and Fantasy. I'm pretty sure he agrees with me. The pool on the new one is very cool on the new style of ship, but it's just, to me, it's a little hard to get to. It's a little hard to get to, and I don't love that. Like, it's too far to go all the way to that Cove Cafe to get coffee in the morning because you have to walk all the way around, and that's just how I feel. That's just how I feel. It is lovely, and being in that pool is so nice. I posted a video when I was on the Treasure. Like, if you can get in that pool when no one's in there, heaven. But otherwise, it's just tricky. It's just a little tricky. Best unexpected surprise. And I don't think you guys are going to expect this out of me, but I'm going to go with the atrium on the new class of ship, the Wish, the Treasure, the Destiny. Because at first, I was a little taken aback by the new layout on these ships. They really changed a lot for this new class of ship, but I am kind of obsessed with how good having this hub in the center of the ship is now. It reminds me much more of the theming of a traditional castle park. I love that they moved pieces of the salon there. There's a Bibbidi Bobbidi boutique. There are these open bar concepts. Like, there really is this central hub more than a standard atrium on the other older designs. And more than that, I'm obsessed with the fact that it's become this active space of entertainment and storytelling. And I really think it sets up these ships to provide something different that the others simply can't with their layout. Similarly, the best cabins, it's going to be the newer ships. They're so beautiful. And the older cabins are fantastic, but they've just made so many improvements upon the regular ones, which is so, like, there's so many I could list here, like the light dimming and like the TV placement. There's just so many things that they've just thought through a little more, and just the decor and the design of the new ones is unbelievable. I mean, walking into the Disney Treasure and seeing the backdrop of my bed being in Encanto blew my mind. I will never forget that moment. It was phenomenal. And I just think the artwork, the design, the decor, the detail is just amped up so much on the new ships that it's so lovely. Best standard restaurant is going to 1923 on the new ships. And I know I'm giving the new ships a lot right here, but I just think they nailed this place. It has the inspiration of what makes Disney special. There are There's a multitude of artwork and detail from many, many movies that they've put out over the years. But also, it's elegant. This feels like an upscale restaurant you would find off of a cruise ship. And the fact that this is standard dining, this is one of the restaurants you rotate to when you're on these ships. You don't have to pay extra for it. It is included, and it just feels so fancy. It sets itself apart from all the other main Disney Cruise Line restaurants. But the best themed restaurant, it's a tie. It's a tie between Tiana's Place on the Disney Wonder and Plaza de Coco on the Disney Treasure. Both incorporate the characters of the films, the cuisine, and the atmosphere in a way only Disney can do. There is so much live music, there is so much entertainment that happens at these meals that it, again, is kind of shocking that it's included. It feels so special, and it's something only Disney can do. It's one of those things where you walk away and you're like, I could never do that on another cruise ship, and I just think it nails the cruise line experience. Now, I have not done the Lion King version of the Plaza de Coco restaurant, which will be on the Disney Destiny. I've only seen a preview of it, but from what I've seen and from what I've eaten, it's gonna be good. And best stage show? I know I should say Moana, which is on the Disney Treasure, but like, I'm sorry, the Beauty and the Beast show blew my mind. Now, the Moana show is unbelievable. I don't want to completely spoil it. You can listen to my recap episode. It's in the show notes. But the fact that they pulled that off on a ship, I'm still flabbergasted by it. But Beauty and the Beast is one that I saw with my mom, and we like watched it and just couldn't believe how many set pieces there were, how much was moving around, seeing people and things pop in and out of holes in the ground while you're at sea crashing into waves. It's just blow my mind, blew it and completely wide open. And that is one that I actually like really, really look forward to seeing again, even though it's not one of the most discussed moments for Disney live entertainment recently. Again, Moana, fantastic. Hercules, gonna be sick, but Beauty and the Beast was really special. And the best meal I've ever had on Disney Cruise Line, it's gonna be Enchanté on the new ship. It is one of the best meals I've ever had in my entire life, cruise line, land, anywhere. But that's not fair. That's not fair because that is a fully course tasting menu. It is excellent. So let's instead compare Paulo on Disney Cruise Lines. Paulo is the surcharge restaurant available across the entire fleet. On the newer ships, it's Paulo Steakhouse, but they're all Paulo. They're all in the Paulo family. And I will say, I think I prefer Paulo on the older ships. It's quainter. I don't know. It has this like more old school Disney charm more so than the Paulo Steakhouse version. And it just resonates more deeply with me. Now, speaking of, let's talk more optional stuff. Is it worth it or is it not? Thankfully, there's not much you'll pay for on top of the fee you're already paying to go on the cruise. But there are things like Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique. There are specific character dining options. But like there's like the Royal Princess Tea, and then there's an Olaf one. That's geared more towards children. And also, I've never done it, and I don't feel like I've missed out on anything. But to break it down, excursions. Do I need to go on an excursion if I'm on Disney Cruise Line? It depends on the port. Now, what I'm going to recommend to you is no matter where you're thinking about going, look up reviews, videos, TikToks, YouTubes, whatever you can. For example, I went on a Disney Wonder sailing over spring break time, and one of the ports was in Mexico. There was a beach excursion that I was thinking about booking. I thought that might be fun for us to do. I looked up a video, and they were like, we had a good time. It was freezing cold. It was freezing cold. We went all the way to the beach. It was freezing cold. It was too cold to swim. So definitely look up what people have said about things, look into the time of year that they've gone, and it will absolutely help. And then conversely, Alaska, you better be doing excursions. There's so much to do there. Should I do Paulo? Should I do Paulo? Should I do Paulo? Yes, you should do Paulo. It's the best food you're going to get on the cruise, hands down. The food on the cruise is great, but the food at Paulo is excellent. And if you're like, I don't want to pay more. Like, I get it, but the amount of exceptional food you're getting for the price is worth it and is something I think you should factor into what you're paying, budgeting for your trip, because it's that good. Do note, they have a prefix menu, which is a set course menu. I have individual things I love on the menu, so I don't often do that. I learned my lesson the hard way on this cruise when my dinner was much more expensive than if I went off that menu. Oops, oops, oops. But the big Paulo question I get is often, should I do brunch or should I do dinner? And my dear friend Jeffrey, again, cruise line expert, listens to my podcast, is going to call me about this, and I am not looking forward to this call, but I don't love Paulo brunch. I don't love Paulo brunch. It used to be a buffet. Post-COVID, it is no longer a buffet. You can just kind of order whatever you would like. And I feel like not only does the brunch menu not completely appeal to me, it's not I don't think the food is as good as the dinner food. Like, I had a calzone when I went with my friend Shay on one of the sailings that I really liked, but I just think the dinner menu speaks to me more. Now, my pal Jeffrey loves the chicken parm that he gets at brunch. I had an unbelievable almond croissant with a cappuccino. Like, that was heaven. But truly, I feel like Paulo is most special at dinner time. Paulo brunch is also good. Like, some may say great. It is not my cup of tea compared to dinner. To me, if I could only choose one, I would always, always choose dinner there. And last but not least, the biggest question I have gotten in the past year about Disney Cruise Line. New or old? New ship or old ship? What do I do? And here is the massive pro-con for each ship class. The magic and wonder. Oldies but goodies. Even though some of these are like 26 years old, they still look good because they maintain these ships so well. The perk here is that they're smaller, more intimate, easier to navigate. There's a lot less walking. But it being quaint can be a pro and a con. You can eat at the Paulo Bar here for dinner. You can just drop by and eat, which can only happen here. And they have exceptional themed dining, especially with Tiana's Place, which I like more than Rapunzel's Royal Table, its counterpart on the Disney Magic. But these older ships are missing some of the pluses of other ships, like an onboard ice cream parlor or mini golf. The extra stuff that kind of can fill time on a longer cruise isn't here. They also have the most limited poolside dining options now that the Dream and Fantasy have added extra stuff to their casual dining. But what these ships lack in no water coaster or non-standard water slide, they make up for in charm. You'll see characters randomly more easily because the footprint is smaller. You'll recognize people. And I just feel like that magic of OG Disney Cruise Line is still alive here. And then there's the Disney Dream and Fantasy. These were, remember, the big boys until the triplets came out. So it's kind of the go-to for someone who wants a bigger ship with more going on without going the full shiny new route. Their big failure is casual dining, or I guess most dining, in my opinion, because they have two upscale restaurants, Paulo and Remy, which are a surcharge and are adults only, but the standard dining is really lacking. Other ships have a themed restaurant, and on the Disney Dream and Fantasy, they really do not. And it's something that I would miss if I was on board there. Now, I haven't been on these ships in a minute. I desperately need to go back, but they kind of offer the best of both worlds. There's more to see and do on board than the original ones, but they still retain that original feel and design that many cruise line fans feel close to. They've got my favorite bar, my favorite water slide, a beloved adult pool, and they really bridge the gap between the old and the new. But weirdly, the thing I miss most about these ships is the interactive ship game. Newer ships have a very cool version too, but I kind of love this one as well, because it's Muppet-themed! They have a Muppet-themed game to board, and it's, I mean, it's not something to like book a whole cruise off of, but like, it really is good. And then there's the newbies, the Wish, the Treasure, and the Destiny. And it's really hard to discuss these without the excitement of them being here and like recency bias, but they are quite different from the older four ships. They are shiny and new and big with a totally different layout and more to explore, which appeals to some, but not to others. It's more spread out and can be more challenging to navigate. Like I mentioned, it's tricky to get to the adult-only area. But if you are fearful of days at sea with nowhere to go and everything feeling the same, this is likely your best bet for feeling somewhere different because you will, depending on what area of the ship you are in during the day. At times, it feels more like a fancy mall than a traditional cruise ship, which I am saying as a compliment. I think that is a good thing. That just means that it's bright, it's airy, it's inspirational, like it just has a feel to it, and there's so many things you can easily do and see. I really love to explore a ship and see things, and that's why these really appeal to me. But truly, above all, what sets these ships apart is that they are a level up where the Disney theming is concerned. And unlike the other ships, each of these three has its own identity. The Wish, the Treasure, and the Destiny all have very specific designs, characters, and feels to them. And with that comes this unprecedented level of detail. They are, simply put, beautiful vessels to be on, regardless of which one you are lucky enough to step foot aboard. I mean, simply being on the Disney Wish for when I had that Disney Destiny meeting was thrilling because being there in such a special, stunning space just spoke to me. There are many things I love about these ships. The shows, the size, the offerings, the theming. So much theming that it just feels like a level up on the others. And it gives you that feeling that you get when you walk into the Grand Floridian. You know where you walk in and you're like, ah, luxury. Like that feeling is what you get the entire time on these ships. But they're not perfect. The seating in their restaurants is exceptionally cramped and can at times be uncomfortable, which is something I really wish wasn't the case. But still, they have the most fantastic food. I mean, the poolside options, the barbecue, it's just unmatched. What an upgrade. They have one of the finest dining restaurants you'll ever experience in your life with Enchanté. And they've just created this luxurious environment that you'd probably feel okay even bringing a Disney hater into. It's just that good. But most importantly, at the end of the day, they closed that gap between cruise line and parks. There is more interactivity, more theming. Even DeVille's that's coming to the Destiny. Like, they are bringing characters and stories into these spaces in new, technologically savvy ways across the board. And so if you're a theme park person or you're curious about this, you're more likely to be pulled in by one of these. It's why I can't wait for the Disney Destiny. I can't wait. I just love as much Disney as possible. And when they're building stuff that's themed to my favorite places in the world at theme parks, it's hard to say no to. If you have any questions about Disney Cruise Line, truly, what to book, comparing things, I hope this episode helped answer some of those questions. But if you have anything else, give us a call at 747-CHURROS. And again, if you ever need help from someone who's not me, you need to know about which, specifically, like, which cabin should I book? What are prices? How do I compare seasons? What's the weather like? Please reach out to Mouse Fan Travel. I don't just say that because they're my partner. I say that because I would never book a cruise without them. They are truly geniuses when it comes to this. They know so much. Like, my travel agent knew what the waves, like the choppiness of the water would be like in March when I sailed from San Diego. Like, that is information I did not know. And I just adore them for it. Again, I love them. They make sailing Disney Cruise Line even easier than it already is. And I just can't recommend it enough. I hope you enjoyed. I hope if you were on the fence about Disney Cruise Line, this helped inform what you should do. And again, if you ever have any questions, hit me up because I'm just sitting here dreaming about Meridian. That's all I'm doing. And boy, oh boy, I can't wait to get back on Disney Cruise Line. Thank you for listening. And we're back with Becky.
And of course, I'm not done yet because we've covered the globe. We've covered
Adventures. I just picture you spinning like a deals sign.
It's so hard because right now there's so many incredible deals in travel across the board, and these are just a few, so it is hard to pick. But I do want to pull out a couple of ones that have been going on for a while, but they might wrap up at any time. For example, Walt Disney World has been running the Get a Free Dining Plan for kids ages 3 to 9 for arrivals in 2026. I mean, in 2026 for the entire year. It doesn't have a book by date, which means they can pull this offer at any time. So if it's something that you're really interested in, I would say hop on it while you can.
Wow. Free food. That's through the, you could be planning your holiday trip 2026 and get a handle on that promotion.
Exactly.
Wow.
The other one that I want to make sure everyone knows about, because right now Disneyland is celebrating its 70th, and we've all seen all the cute merch and all the cute food and all the cute things that Disneyland is also running. They're save up to 20% off if you book by July 31st for travel through August 15th. So there's still a good month and a half for you to go in and enjoy Disneyland, which is going to be all over the place with the new attractions that are opening up in mid-July.
Oh my gosh. Thank you so much, Becky. And for anyone wanting to plan a trip, reach out to Mouse Fan Travel. Tell them I sent you. We have the link in the show notes. I keep yapping about it. But they will help you plan your trip. They will make sure that you get the best price possible. I know, because I'm tooling around on that website a ton. And then I talk to my travel agent and all my problems are solved immediately.
And that's what we do. We'll see you soon.
Bye. Thank you. So we got two calls after last week's Gab Sesh episode that I thought just needed to be paired together. Both of them are in response to the Churros Hotline response. Well, they're in response to the Churros Hotline call response from last week's Gab Sesh episode. That is so confusing. To put that long explanation aside, Both of these calls have to do with my mini Wisconsin Dells guide that I gave on last week's Gab Sesh episode. That's the way to do it. Now, if you haven't heard that episode yet, or that back and forth from the Churros Hotline, I highly recommend checking it out, especially if you have any interest in Wisconsin Dells, one of my favorite places in the entire world. And if you have, here are two essential replies we must discuss that I am honored to share with you.
Hi, Carly. It's Christy. I'm from Minnesota. Longtime listener, first-time caller. Hey, I just wanted to call you. I don't know how I haven't called before. I've listened to so many things. I've used your podcast for all of my trips and Tokyo recently. But being from California and now living in Minnesota, I have been to Wisconsin Dells many a times, and I have never heard of the Jelly Belly Candy Company, and had to look it up because how have I missed this? But your latest episode talked about it, and looked it up, and I just wanted to let you know that it closed in 2020. So I just wanted to let you know that it's no longer around, and I just thought you wanted to know about that. So just FYI, so sad that I missed it myself too. So just wanted to let you know. So, hey, love your stuff. Looking forward to hopefully going on the trip with you next year. Thanks. Bye.
Hi, Carly. I'm Katie. I'm calling from Milwaukee. I've called in a couple times before, but I just need to tell you that I was so excited about your Wisconsin shout out in the last episode. I'm, you know, born and raised in Milwaukee. Loved the sausage race plug. And I guess I didn't realize how much time you spent in Wisconsin, even though you just grew up over the border. But I have to tell you that in this exact moment, as I'm listening to your podcast, I'm packing to go to the Dells tomorrow. So I don't know. Maybe if I find some new cool stuff, I will let you know. But I'm really excited. I haven't been in a while. But the main point of this call is you were talking about the Jelly Belly factory in, I think it is technically Pleasant Prairie, just over the border into Wisconsin. And that closed down, but they opened a Haribo factory. And I don't know if it's like the same building. It's like right along the freeway. You can't miss it. But they closed down the Jelly Belly, I want to say during the pandemic. And it somehow this small little border town also inherited Haribo. And I think this is extremely niche, but I thought you would want to know. And I would love to hear more information about it or do a deep dive. Also, got to do the Mars Cheese Castle. Don't know the last time you drove up from Illinois into the state of Wisconsin. There's always been that amazing tacky sign, but now it is actually they remodeled the building to look like a small castle. So you really have to do that too. Okay. Local Wisconsinite clocking out. Thank you.
Katie, Christy, thank you so much for both of your calls. You two are like Midwestern ships passing in the night, and I'm so glad that I could bond you together through Wisconsin Dells, my favorite place. Now, first of all, we gotta pour one out for that Jelly Belly factory, the famous site in my own life of my friend Reba being force-fed Bertie Bott's beans from the official flavor sampler employee, and him scooping us all little surprise fruity sorbet yummy flavors, and her getting booger and vomit. Incredible prank to play on an unsuspecting 20-something at the time, but really something that looms large in my memory. And oh my God, she was so like ill after. She just kept getting vomit. And we'd be like, yum, yum, orange. And she'd be like, why does mine taste like poopy? Oh man, good prank. RIP to that place. Now, as sad as I personally am that the Jelly Belly factory is kaput, by the way, you can order belly flops online, but I see them in a lot of different shaped bags. I don't know where they're coming from or how fresh they are. So to each their own, just know that if the quality is meh, is mid, it, don't blame me, I apologize in advance. But when I tell you I am floored that it has gone away and a new candy factory has arrived, it is absolutely blowing my mind. I can't believe there's a Haribo factory in the same town of Pleasant Prairie, Wisconsin. Is this like the candy mecca of America? Incredible intel. Katie, thank you so much. This is all so wild. They even reported a Bloomberg story on it when I was Googling around. It is bananas. Also, about Mars Cheese Castle. Mars Cheese Castle is thrilling to me, but I haven't stopped there in years, and I kind of don't know why. I honestly think this is it. I feel like it was on the opposite side of the highway, so on the way to the Wisconsin Dells, I'd be like, oh, I'll go on the way home. I'll go on the way home. And then on the way back, I'm like, nah, man, I've already had enough cheese curds to last a lifetime. I don't need to bring a bag home with me, since I would just chow down whenever I am in that. Oh, when I didn't even mention this. Whenever I'm in the Dells, I go to Monk's. monks for fried cheese curds. Oh my God. Oh, I miss Wisconsin Dells so much. Would you believe I only gave you like an abbreviated version on the last episode? I left monks out. There's so many more things we have to talk about. I have to go back. Wisconsin Dells Tourism Board needs to hear from me. Like, I need to make a trip there imminently. Also, one more thing. I am so glad that both of you called about Wisconsin Dells because I do have an edit to what I said. And I was going to have Jeff edit it. I was going to email him like right before we went live to be like, Jeff, I have an edit. And I don't like to do that unless it's a real emergency. But, and this is not an emergency, but I do need the record to show that I need to take the L. I said Paul Bunyan's had cinnamon sugar donuts, which is incorrect. Incorrect. And I feel horrible that I said it. They are merely sugar coated. Again, I was going to remove it. Didn't seem like it was worth someone's time to go in and pull that detail out. But I'm thrilled to now have the platform to address it and formally apologize and make it right. Also, we didn't even talk about the gift shop at Paul Bunyan's. Oh my God. Please do let me know on your trip that if you find cool new stuff, I need to know. Oh, that's just, if you heard that, that's just Morty. That place lives in my brain forever. I love it so much. And I got to get to that Haribo factory. Thank you both so much for calling. Wisconsin Dells forever! That's our show! Thank you all so much for listening to this very cruise-tastic episode of Very Amusing. Once again, you know this. You can rate, review, and follow us on Apple Podcasts. You can rate and follow and comment about us on Spotify. We love it. We love the ratings. We love the comments. We love the reviews. It helps people find this podcast. Truly, 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 it does. And I thank you all to everyone who has already done it. You can give us a call whenever at 747-CHURROS. Hit us up. I am happy to answer questions. I feel like every week I'm like, a Churros Hotline episode is coming. It is. It is. But then we get so many new questions and I'm like, oh, I got to dive into these. And it's just, we have a backlog and I can't wait to get through it. So get your calls in because we have a lot of fun ones and I can't wait to share them. And I always feel like like we did in this episode, where I like pair calls together, it feels like a little wave to each other. And not to get into group trip, but like, I can't wait to have everyone together in person. We all get to hang out. Ah, my camp counselor energy, like truly, truly cannot handle it. But if you have any questions, hit us up. That is what we are here for. If you are planning a trip, Disney, Land, World, Cruise Line, Adventures, anything else, like a Nat Geo, whatever. Whatever it is, reach out to Mouse Fan Travel. They will take care of your trip. They can also book Epic Universe. They are experts at theme parks. And honestly, the main thing where I'm like, this is why I keep talking about like discounts and deals and like why I'm obsessed with this. I know we've talked about this a lot this episode, but just let me explain. They, like, not only will they find you the best rate, which is so important because if you, and I have experienced this firsthand, if you're on the website, if you change like one date here or one date there, you can find an offer available at a hotel that isn't available for other dates. Like if you change little details, new things will pop up, and having someone dedicate the time and have them do it on their end to give you the best strata of options is so worthwhile. They will charge you nothing for that work. They are incredible. I adore them. And especially for cruises, listen, you want them to give you input on cabins. That's what I'm going to say. Because I would have booked all willy-nilly thinking I knew what I was talking about. And thankfully to my travel agent, I booked exactly what they told me. And it was the perfect, correct choice. Check them out at mousefantravel.com/amusing. You can follow me at Carly Wiesel on the internet. Join the Fomaly at facebook.com/group/CarlyWiesel. And subscribe to my Instagram, 99 cents a month. You're getting 99 cents worth of fun. I can guarantee you that. Cheaper than cold foam. We love to have a good time over there. We just did a little cruise line Q&A before this episode where I answered questions directly. It really is kind of like a Churros VIP line. So if you're interested, 99 cents a month. I love it there. And I hope you will too. This episode was edited extemporaneously by Jeff Fox. I gotta tell you, every week a word just pops into my head and it's one we've never used before. I don't know how. I haven't had to do word research in a year. It's just like, boom, one pops up. It's kind of fun. It's kind of fun. It's what Jeff deserves. Thank you so much for listening. See you real soon.
Hi, honey. Great Gab Fest. Disneyland was so much fun. It was the best day ever. Being with you and Pearl, oh, my God. It was just the best. Oh, and Dad, too. Sorry. It was one of the best days. Everything we did, it just seemed so easy, so fun, so relaxing. It wasn't very crowded. There were no long waits. And now I can say Pearl can hang. She can hang with the best of us because you and I are crazy, Disney crazy. crazy, crazy, Disney crazy, rushing to make sure we go on as many rides as possible. And it was flawless. We went on like 9 or 10 rides. She was so happy. It was the best meet and greet with Alice. And I didn't want to keep it going long, but she kept asking questions and talking to her and engaging, and I wasn't moving. Sorry about that. It was wonderful. Happy birthday to Nene. We love you. I really appreciated you being so open and sharing, because we all have things we need to do and continue. And we just like put it off till later. We'll do it next time. And then next time is months to years away. So please see your doctor and do those tests that are needed right away. Because if you don't, I'm coming out there and I'm making you go. Okay. You don't want that. I love you. Do it before I see you next. As you also mentioned, putting things off and just doing it. I know you'll be visiting me soon, and I'm sorry to tell you that when I cleaned out your old bedroom, it is now my walk-in closet, my messy, messy, you can't walk in closet. I have so much stuff in there, but I have to fix it up a little bit before you come. Maybe that's why you said the speech. Subliminally, I know I got to do it, but I'm glad to have that push. I love you so much, Carly. I love you so much, Pearl, and I'll see you real soon for sure. Bye.